Hey, my name is James, and you're listening to the TCR, you bitch.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello, and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. Episode 124, coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, October 3rd, 2018. The time, 8:33 p.m. Central Standard Time. Approaching daylight saving time, I think. Right? What happens in October? We fall back.
Oh man, I lose track. I can look it up for us so we can. It's March 11th to November 4th, so November 4th.
We are all adults. We should not have to look up if it's daylight saving time in the fall or spring. But
no, I knew it was sometime around now. I just didn't know the date. November 4th. That would have said like late
to think
October.
We're just so esports all the time. We just don't know how to turn it off.
It's our lives.
We just don't know how to turn it off. Again, this is The Center Ring. We are an esports podcast. If this is your first time listening, hello and welcome. You can follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Our website is tcr.gg. Our social media stuff is on there. Discord link. You can join the conversation there and have fun with that. We also stream on Twitch, for those who might not know. Twitch.tv/TheCenterRing. We are live right now. This very moment, you can see our faces if you so wish. You can see in the corner here the ESL Dallas bag that has been sitting there for about 7 months now. I'll get around to moving it eventually.
Or looking inside of the bag.
I know what's in there.
All right.
That's just some cool stuff.
You can see Brett's Dyson. I think it's a Dyson back there with the rollerball.
Big money.
Yeah.
Big money.
That is.
I mean, that's like Dyson top dollar. Bag, man.
That's like top dollar right there.
But this is going to be the best episode ever. Brett has rejoined us this week. He was out last week playing softball.
What's
he's
up?
Officially reached middle-aged white man, and that's what
right.
you do.
Yeah, I hang out with other adults. Adulting.
Playing softball.
Co-ed softball. The best.
We have like news at the end. We got some things to get to with our weekly segment of things that we just don't have time to get to, but should probably be addressed. So we'll address some of that in e-news. We are introducing a brand new segment today called Fan Logic, where we use common sense to solve esports' most common problems. And the topic today is CSGO. CSGO is going to be a heavy topic today, actually. We are going to do a State of CSGO episode. We had two tournaments wrap up over the weekend. Teams joining back in, or organizations joining back into the game, I should say. Teams dropping out of tournaments, causing drama. And it seems like the decision is split on whether there are issues with CSGO. And again, we'll get to that with Fan Logic. But to start off, let's talk about the tournaments that wrapped up, shall we? ESL New York and Blast Pro Series ended up wrapping up over the weekend. A whole week after the Face It London Major. So plenty of time for these guys to take a break, see loved ones, recoup, and get back into the swing of things. Which one would you want to talk about first?
We can go. Let's start with New York. Let's start at home.
All right. We'll start on the homeland soil here. So ESL New York, normally a touted tournament, right? This is normally a huge tournament every year. Like I said, it kind of sucks. I don't know. We won't get into the scheduling thing right away because that's what our Fan Logic is going to be about. Did it seem like, with the major being a week ago, did that take away any of your excitement for ESL New York?
I mean, for me anyways, like the major is such a long event. And there's so many maps and so much that you look at that, for me personally, I just got fatigued. Now, I'm me. I'm not everybody else. So, I'm just kind of speaking just on my own, personal deal. But yeah, I got fatigued. I wish they could have maybe spaced that out a month, because like you said, Tim, it is one of the bigger events and it just sucks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think a lot. It means a lot if you win New York. Now, the hype wasn't adjusted for me at all with the major. I do think, though, you saw some teams perform lesser than what they probably should have been. And I do think that's a direct reflection of the major. Like, if you look at the teams that struggled apart from Liquid, I mean, it's really the teams that kind of went further into the major or had a more stressful, face it London experience. Navi going 1-2, FaZe going 0-2, losing to G2 and NRG of all teams.
Ouch.
It's tough. At least you go 0-2. NRG, I mean, is actually a pretty good team. They're ranked, top 15 right now in the world, I'm pretty sure. So yeah. They're competent, right?
I think people maybe forgot NRG, because they didn't make it into the qualify. Major.
Well, right. Yeah. Maybe even, the complexity in Liquid. Momentum that was happening. I remember us talking about NRG maybe even being one of the better teams in NA at one particular time. So,
and that wasn't that long ago. They still are. They just didn't make the major. So
that's what I was saying. It's just people forget about them because they haven't been in these recent tournaments that you had to qualify for. But they got good at a bad time. Because they kind of started doing a lot better after all the qualifiers. So, but NRG, you're right. They are a top 15 team. Still would expect FaZe, though, to beat them.
Yeah, kind of half and half, right? I'm kind of on the other side with FaZe because I know a lot of the teams that we expected to perform well did do well at the same time between two tournaments, right? Mm-hmm. If you look at who got first and second, I know we'll get into Blast Pro next, but it was the people you would expect. Same thing with ESL New York. We knew Liquid was playing really well. I think a lot of people anticipated them to go far in this tournament. Navi was the one kicker, right? They came out on the other end of this where they didn't make it to the playoffs. They looked fatigued more than anybody just because of coming off such an emotional loss, right? And then to have to go out and play the next weekend right after, that's pretty tough. So I can also see why they faltered. FaZe, however, they looked poor coming into this. They didn't look good in the major. I know they ended up taking it to a fifth match in the major, but they started off 0-2, remember, looked really bad. Nico took over for calling, and they made it through two easier games, essentially. It wasn't the toughest opponents. And then they lost in the follow-through match to go through. So with them, they've looked poor. I think we're going to see a roster change coming from them. I don't think Kerrigan is going to hold that spot much longer. If he's not calling or an IGL, what is his purpose on the team necessarily, right?
I was about to say, at what point do we talk about FaZe in the same way that we're talking about SK, right? I feel like they haven't been sucking as long as SK, but I mean, it's kind of getting to that point where that expectations are here. Sir? Oh, my bad. MIBR. I forget. SK needs to get a Counter-Strike team. Have they got a team yet? Have they picked up a roster yet? Are they going to pick up a roster?
They had the Brazilian squad, not SK, the preview. They had Phelps and not Phelps. It was Phelps, right? Yeah, it was Phelps and Henwan, and then that blew up pretty quick, so I don't know what they're doing now.
I mean, as is tradition. But, yeah. I mean, you get what I'm saying, right? MIBR, at what point do we just say, hey, enough's enough? Your expectations are supposed to be sky high and you're not.
I mean, I feel like it's weird. I feel like we have talked about that though. It's just varies so much between tournament, right? You'll have one tournament where FaZe will get second place or maybe even first here and there. And then you have tournaments like this where they just look really bad. They have no consistency. And I think it also speaks volume. And I think Anuj, maybe you said it last episode or a couple episodes ago, where I've kind of stopped considering Nico as one of the best players in the world. Because if he was one of the best players, you would be able to work with this roster and do some type of caring, some type of clutch. But it almost just seems like at this point, like the water is tainted. And that's, to me, that's where you see inconsistency come from.
I mean, a lot of people would say that SK have a lot of the top, you know, players on their team, at least three, right? And they can't get it to work. At what point does it come down to, you know, when you look at Astralis, like their strong suit, of course, they have an insane roster, but they also have a coach that is super detailed and structured. At what point do we look at it and say, hey, maybe it's a little deeper than just talent?
I think it's, so I still think Nico is one of the best players in the world. I just don't think he is the best player in the world, right? So with FaZe right now, yeah, they're, like Brett said, they're lacking, I think, real leadership at top. They don't have, again, Kerrigan was supposed to be the structure. You know, that's what we got to keep telling ourselves. He was supposed to be the one to lead them to this promised land by being the in-game leader. I think with this roster now, they've won their two tournaments with Croman and with Exist. I mean, Olaf wasn't in either of their last two pretty big tournament wins, right? I think he had subbed out for both of them. So I think there's just a chemistry issue here. They're not always on at the same time, and that's kind of the biggest frustration. Remember that period in time where Guardian was, I think, new on FaZe, and he went through a run where, even in the major against Cloud9, like, he went through a time where if he was 1v3, you really felt like Guardian was going to come out on top and win it. That's kind of faded away a little bit. When Nico performs well.
That was only
well,
9 months ago.
Yeah, but it's just not the same. Like, people are peaking at different times, and then there's just not enough there. There's going to have to be a change of top, because I don't think Nico should be IGLing. It just naturally affects your gameplay. They can't afford that.
You have other than that, I'm just looking at Group B because I have that's what's in front of me right now.
You mean to say who advanced from each of them here?
I mean, it's no spoilers, right? People have seen it. You had Mouseports and Gambit advancing out of Group A. Liquid and NRG advanced out of Group B. Group A, you had Fnatic going 0-2 and Na'Vi going 1-2, losing to Gambit twice. So that sucks. You lost to the same team twice. So
team that's breaking up. Like, they're, I know. Breaking up. I mean, like, they're losing Hobbit.
Hobbit's already gone.
That's already happened, right?
Like, yeah, that was the last tournament.
But I think that was their last tournament. Like,
yeah, Gambit said that. Blast Pro or New York was going to be the last tournament for Hobbit. So it's kind of I'm kind of curious to see where that ends up. That seems like a very mutual agreement because they announced it like a week or so ahead
pretty,
of the tournament.
Pretty far in advance. Like, it's rare to see that, knowing that, hey, we're not keeping him. Gambit looked like they came in hyped for the event because of this. Like, they looked re-energized and they looked good. And so, I think that was just a little luck on their part. They caught Na'Vi at a time again where they were struggling. I say struggling, coming off of a performance that's going to cause you to be down.
Na'Vi was fatigued.
Just like, beaten up.
Watching every team out of this weekend, Na'Vi was the one that, to me, looked like, we just lost the major. Why do we care about ESL New York right now?
Still a big tournament, but I get it. I would feel pretty demoralized also.
A big tournament, but to them, you know, the major's the major, and it's just.
And you could tell Simple's the kind of person that would take it personally to lose the major, right? Yeah. It's not just a game. Getting a chance to speak with him when we saw him over here.
Because for him, though, he's been there before, multiple times. I mean, back when he was on Liquid, he was in that same situation, and he's kind of had that monkey on his shoulder where he just can't get it off to where to get that major. He's kind of the Ovechkin of Counter-Strike at this point.
He'll get it when he's 42.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ovechkin got his. When's Simple going to get his?
That's what I'm saying, though. That's what I'm saying. It's going to be like when you think, okay, it's done and everything there. So yeah, Na'Vi, I think, was just fatigued.
Fnatic looked beat up, and they let you know right away after the tournament because they dropped Draken. Twist is now back on the team. I think that's a great move. I've always been a big fan of Twist. I don't think he should have left Fnatic.
I was gonna say when him and Disco, I thought and I was a fan of Disco. I didn't think him and Twist were that bad on Fnatic. I thought that was there was room to work with them.
They came at a time when Fnatic came from like God mode, though, yeah. Right? So expectations were so high. Like you had to be Fnatic had to be in the top five in the world at all times. Back down to reality now, I would say pretty quickly, right? The experiment bringing Flesha and all these guys back hasn't panned out the way they thought. Hence the change to bring now Twist back, dropping Draken. Swedish scene's a mess, dude. It's not a pretty scene right now. And I don't know if this necessarily fixes Fnatic's problems. I do think it makes them a better team. I still think they have room to go, though. I think you'll end up seeing a little bit more come from them. If I mean, obviously not immediately, but in the upcoming tournaments, if it doesn't go great, you know, they probably should go with the youth movement there.
Mm-hmm. And out of the teams that made the finals, you had Mousesports and Team Liquid. Mousesports looking strong, Team Liquid looking strong. Mousesports ended up winning 3-2. I did not know this. Did you guys see this on Reddit about Team Liquid? The crazy stat that the only event that they've ever won was CS Summit.
With this roster?
With this roster, yes.
Oh, okay.
Like, they have been cursed to second place so many times.
That is pretty crazy, because you feel like you see them there at the end, which obviously we have multiple times. How many times have they got second?
A lot, but it's like, if you go on their thing, the only thing they've won first place are, like, qualifiers.
Yeah, I'm looking at Anoush, like, second, third, second, third, second. Like, they're there.
Mm-hmm. They're always there, this roster. But if you look again, out of those, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of those, 6 are
they
against
won
Astralis
ESL Pro League over here, right?
No.
Oh, they won North America. They lost in the finals to
that was G
G2 and Astralis won in Dallas for the last two ones here. So
yeah, Astralis won the last one.
So Liquid,
that's crazy.
I know. When you think of how good that roster is and how consistent, we were just talking about FaZe being not consistent, and they have been consistent ever since that roster. And it just
they're consistently competing. Yeah. So that's a,
and that's yeah, that's and that's what I was gonna say. I mean, eventually, if you're there enough, one of those is gonna go in your favor. So
you would
keep
think,
that continuity.
But don't you also
keep
think
that roster
that Mousesports
continuity.
Would be that team to beat? Because Mousesports has its woes in tournaments.
Yeah, but they also have they're also extremely talented as well. So I mean
honestly, I don't know, y'all didn't get a chance to watch all 5 maps of this darn thing, but Chris J was god mode in the last like 2 maps. He was
friend of the show.
Really? Yeah, I mean he actually is. He's awesome though. I mean he was so good and so clutch. I mean, you got to watch if you haven't seen it already. Even for the listeners out there, we can post it on our Reddit here later, or on our Twitter here later on. But it was Chris J's op ace. It was on Mirage. He was holding A site. And I mean, he was literally stuck. Now he aced it, but he was stuck in like a 4v1 situation. And, you know, I think that was map 5 too, which was the craziest part. So, it, you know, at the very end, and it literally save them that round, and it was such an incredible play. It'll probably be nominated for play of the year if they do stuff like that, so we'll definitely post it for y'all to check out. But it was this dude stepped up in the tournament. I know Twist still came out with MVP, and deservedly so, because he played fantastic in all 5 maps, but Chris J really stepped up in those last 3 games for them to win it. And it was tough to put that on Liquid when somebody's playing so well. And mm-hmm. it's like the not that Chris J is a bad player, but they have more firepower, I feel like, in other area with Ropes and, you know, Oscar at times. And so for him to be the one to really elevate them was a cool moment to see, but I can see how that would also take Liquid completely out of their game, because this guy just tore it up, and you probably were not expecting that.
Moving on to Blast Pro Series, the most hyped tournament of the year.
Dude, it gets a lot of pub, dude. It's crazy.
Sure.
And I mean, it does. Sure. I'm talking about in terms of
all
how
natural?
Much it gets promoted.
All natural?
That's not what I said. I said they get a lot of pub. And they do. They really like pimp it out well, and it's everywhere. Everyone's talking about it when it comes up.
I think we're the only esports outing that hasn't gotten paid to tweet about it.
Maybe like, we will soon, so we should keep saying it's an awesome event.
It seems like we're the only ones that haven't been asked to pimp it out.
They do a good job, though.
It is. This year was bad
because of the stream.
Yeah, they had to cancel the first day and postpone it completely. But this year was a lot better.
And they do some cool stuff. Like
multiple games at once. The stage is like a 6-team stage, right?
Yeah.
I love the one-on-ones that they do and like all that. I love that idea behind it. It makes it for a fun event, right? Like if in a CSGO schedule where there's an event every weekend, I don't mind this one because they do make it different, right? It's just not your normal 6-man tournament. Okay, go play. Okay, now here's money. Okay, we'll see you at the next one, right? They do mix it up. This year was better. I gave it a lot of grief last year because it was just so poorly ran. Like, for the amount of hype there was around it, and then for them just to bomb, I felt like they couldn't get away without getting made fun of. So this year was a lot better. You had big teams here. Astralis ended up beating MIBR in the finals. But you also got to see the new Cloud9 with Flusha. Virtus Pro was here. Somehow, they got invited.
This Space is a top heavy event.
And NIPR. Or MIB. I mixed them up. NIP. I want to say NIPR. NIPR. Ninjas.
Yeah, ninjas were there. Yeah,
it was a top heavy event. This is
a really top heavy event. How does VP still get into events? Somebody explain this to me.
I don't know. I was wondering why. Because
they bring viewers.
Is this legit? I'm looking at this right now. Astralis had a 59 round differential. The closest team was 3.
They were dominant.
Like,
They were really, really dominant, as they've shown.
They had no major hangover.
No.
None. They felt pretty good coming off of that major victory, and they went to go show that. Now, as much as I make fun of VP for even being here, they did beat Cloud9.
Oh, no.
Which it's the only
panic.
It is the only team they ended up defeating. So, yeah,
you shouldn't be panicked though, because like I said on the last episode, this team is going to fail regardless. So you just gotta accept
for Cloud9?
It. Yeah, for Cloud9. Like this roster is just a really odd looking roster. I don't know what their plan is. This has to be.
This roster is temporary no matter how you look at it. Because I know Anuj and I, we talked about it last episode. It doesn't matter. It's too awkward and it's just not going to mesh well, right? Because you have that Flusha and Golden Boy kind of bromance going on. And maybe they won't fit in with the Americans or maybe they'll blame, you know, whatever, right? You're going to have that issue. Or they're going to do so well. Then they're going to ask Flusha to move to the States, and then it's not going to work out there because that's not going to happen. The roster is doomed to break up within the next 4 months.
Yeah, I think they have to have some other long-term plan. Skadoodle also is probably at the tail end at this point.
Again.
Not already there. Yeah, I mean, you see it. I feel like the writing's on the wall, so they'll eventually do something there. I don't know what they do, though. I mean, they have to get one of the young offers. Nifty is gone now. I felt like they should have been the team to make a play for him, or Envious, you know, obviously snagged him up now, and that's great for them. So maybe Cirque, but they're in a tough spot. They're probably going to hang on to this roster until they see that opening to grab some people, right? Like, it shouldn't be a knee-jerk move, but they're in a tough spot. And it kind of is like, pretty sad to watch that first game. I don't know if you saw, it was MIBR and Cloud9 playing each other in the first round. It still like kind of rips me apart inside to see Stewie and, you know, Tarek on the other side. So,
I still think that roster, the major winning roster, right, was a victim of the schedule. I think it was, they won the major. And there are so many tournaments, much like this last major, right? There's so many tournaments right after the major, they didn't have a time to catch their breath. They struggled, and they never were able to recover from it. And then instantly, teams panic, or, you know, SK
players
would post,
panicked in this
right?
case. You know,
yeah,
like,
well, that's Stewie, what I'm saying. Who... The players panicked, or maybe SK went up to Stewie and said, you guys are struggling there. Want to join us? Right? And then to Stewie, that looks amazing, right? He's like, hell yeah, I'll leave Cloud9. We're struggling. We'll go to SK. The schedule, I think that roster was a victim of the schedule. Schedule and itchy trigger fingers. People making
that, because that roster decisions. Still would have been number one NA, especially had they moved Skadoodle and threw in a Nifty or a Cirque maybe and made that be the change. You know, I think that should have been the change that was made at the time, is move on from Skadoodle, find a way to keep your core. You would have had four really young players, and then you could have brought in a young Opper and let that team grow. You know, maybe at some point you get to see Stewie and Tarik back if this MIBR experiment fails, but they're going to give that time, as we've seen, right? Like, MIBR is not going to tear this roster apart.
That's just not their just style. They've never been that way with SK.
I feel like a big part of them getting Yanko to be coach was to be like, hey, we want this to work. We need to bring in somebody that can make it work. So
you almost feel like they should be doing that same thing, right? If they want to make that roster work out, you bring in a really qualified coach. Yanko is, I loved him on the desk. So I really liked him on the desk a lot. He was sharp, you know, especially when he did those breakdowns of the plays. I felt like he was always one of the teleprompter kind of doing a thorough breakdown. So hopefully he brings a little stability to that role. You're seeing Fallen already kind of perform better. Cold was great in this tournament. You know, he was good up until they ran into the beast of Astralis.
Buzzsaw.
I think they're going to give it time. I don't think MIBR is going to rush to anything. They played well in this tournament. They're not, I still don't feel like they're there. You know, you watch them and there's some games where you're like,
yeah,
are they like really back or not? But
it's seriously, like, in my opinion too, though, you have to grade these tournaments somewhat differently, right? This is a 6-man tournament. Like, it's a lot easier to be like, man, we made top two, or we made top four in this tournament, right? Or top three, right? You want to even take gold, silver, bronze, medal? Okay, sure. There were six teams. Like,
still got 50 grand.
I know, but that's prize money.
I know. Yeah, you're definitely right. And like we said, this tournament was held for them to meet in the finals.
Yes.
You know, it would have been a surprise if NIP made the finals. It would have been a surprise if Space Soldiers or Cloud9 made it. Mm-hmm. So
it's a 6-man, 100% invited tournament.
Yeah.
Zero qualify. Like, you didn't have to qualify. You Virtus Pro was there as well, just because of an invite. So it's kind of, I take all these type of things with like a grain of salt.
I would love to see some tournament be like, I mean, you have to put the money there to get these people to show up, right? But if you can get the money and do, if you're going to do a 6-man invite tournament, you just take 1 through 6 on HLTV rankings at the time and get them all to come to one tournament. Then if you can walk out of there and be like, yeah, we were top two, that means something, right? Or 8-man or whatever you want to do.
I feel like, wasn't the E-League premiere pretty much like that? E-League gets, they get some pretty good teams because they
well, it's a $1 million tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same as a major. So you're going to get pretty much who you invite.
They had like everyone but one team.
That's a good point. E-League does do a good job of getting really top tier teams there. So yeah, that's a tournament where I feel like you walk out being like, yeah, we made top two. All right. Well, that counts for something here. If they didn't, that would have been a disappointment.
The competition wasn't there.
No.
You know, it would solely be an upset if they weren't top two. So I'll take it with a grain of salt. I mean, I'll give him credit, but at the same time,
not too much.
Stewie sucks. So what can you do?
Damn.
I'm not upset about it. Don't worry about it.
I'm still not upset.
Speaking of everyone's new favorite team.
That's right. Astralis. Oh, okay.
Who are you going to talk about?
Man, I thought you were going to go Envy.
I was going to talk about Envy because that's my favorite team, Anuj.
No, okay. I'm talking about everyone's like love child right now is definitely Astralis and CSGO. These guys are on another level. Like, they
it
are
is weird
really
too. I feel I feel like most teams, when they get to Astralis level, we root for them to fail. And no one does that with Astralis, you know? Like, I remember when Fnatic was on top, hated them. When SK was on top, hated them. You know, even look at FaZe, right? No one wants to see FaZe win. But Astralis, everyone's like, aww. I mean,
maybe we're a victim just personally. Like, we've talked to Zipix, we've talked to Dupree, we've talked to, you know, their coach. It's just like, you can't hate them. Maybe Device. Like, Device sometimes comes off a little cocky, but other than that, it's just like, yeah, you can.
A good group of people, you feel like, when, like I said, when we did have conversations with them, super humble, super open. But their personalities come across like that, I feel like, in game. You know, they don't have a certain type of aggression. They don't have a cocky demeanor, but they know they're really good. They're a team that overcame, you know, a big departure in KRB when he left. It was, you know, an unplanned, unannounced change. At the time, Glaive wasn't playing well. He wasn't fragging. He was, you know, his in-game leading was good, but he wasn't fragging at the time. And then they brought in Majisk, who had just swapped teams already, you know, gone from North to Optic, and then, you know, sitting in Optic Purgatory over there, got a chance with Astralis, and he's brought another level of firepower to him. But at the same time, it's like, they are just creating the meta in front of us, and that's what's exciting to see when you watch them play.
Yeah, I think what's also exciting too is, like, they don't have that one guy. You know, every team has, like, that one guy where you're like, all right, this dude is going to clutch it for us. With them, it could be anyone.
They talk about Zipix sometimes. Yeah, but
they all play a role. I get what you're saying, definitely. Though. Yeah. You trust all of them.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You trust that any of them can clutch it out or get the job done or just play smart, right? You saw that at the major where Na'Vi in the finals just didn't play smart. They made a lot of dumb pushes. They pushed a lot of fights, a lot of 1v1s that they probably shouldn't have. And you never see that from Astralis. Never.
Very calculated in everything they do.
And that goes back to what we were talking about previously on this episode, was talking about coaching. Like, they have a coach that keeps them accountable. Like, we've talked to him. We talked to him at ESL where, you know, we were talking about, hey, you know, your use of utility, talk about that. And he's like, yeah, you know, when we're practicing and they throw a smoke, I'll ask him, hey, why did you do that? Why did you throw that smoke? What was your thought process there? So he keeps them thinking, he keeps them fresh, he keeps them, you know, just super on top of their game. And it shows in these tournaments where they have a round differential of like 60. Insane.
Yeah, they're just a really good team. And it's nice because, like, you know, we say that they don't have the one guy. They really do. I mean, anytime you need a big game out of Device, he steps up and, you know, he comes through for him. He's himself, you know, was a top rated player in this tournament.
MVP of the major, right?
Yeah, MVP of the major. So he's, you know, he's on another level himself. But again, you get such a consistent performance. Even if Device is playing really well, that doesn't mean the rest of them are playing bad.
Right.
Like, the other four are playing at an exceptionally high level also. And it's just Device's, you know, again, superstar level in terms of his gameplay. They're a hell of a team. I don't see them slowing down. They seem like a grindy type mentality team, where they're not gonna settle. This team's also super committed to the group of players that they have, as they should be right now as well. But they don't seem like a team that, even if they go through a little bit of a slump, which I felt like they did a little bit, you know, earlier in the year, they're gonna stick with it and they're gonna figure out how to get better. And they're doing that, and they're still coming up with new ways to get better while you're at the top, which we've seen.
Until,
it's hard to
do. Until teams learn to copy their utility use, I don't think there's any threat that they're going to lose number one anytime soon. The way, I mean, it's just when it comes down to it, at end, when late in rounds, they still have utility compared to other teams that just don't. So I think until teams learn to copy that, because I think, Anuj, like you said, that is the new meta. Right, to use your utility smart, then I think Astralis is going to see them being in that number one spot consistently.
They're students of the game, you know, so it's not, you know, it helps that they're naturally some of the most skilled players too. It's not like you could take a tier two team and be like, hey, execute everything perfectly like they do. Like, they're all incredibly skilled players that are playing, you know, in such an intelligent way. It's just, it's really crazy. It's going to be hard to topple them. I mean, FaZe would be your best bet. Again, I think once they make their change, it would be interesting to see what they do. And then MIBR, those are really the only two teams that I could sit here and say, yeah, they have, they kind of have a chance. I don't think there's anybody else right now that's even close to them.
Yep. Let's move on to my favorite team, my new favorite team, though. We talked about it last week. It was all kind of rumors, but pretty much confirmed, but it's been officially confirmed with a little bit of a twist. Team Envy, formerly known as Envious, is making its return to CSGO. What's really funny is, like, a week ago, we were talking to people within the organization, and they were like, hey, when are you going to get back into CSGO? And I'm not going to name names, but the dude we talked to, I will never play poker with him because his poker face is amazing. Because he was like, yeah, you know, we're thinking about it. We want to get back in. We want to get back in. Who would you like to see? And we said, we were like, get Nifty and you'll have me at least interested. And he's like, oh, that's interesting. That's an interesting name. Never heard of him. We'll have to look him up.
What does he play? What position is he?
What position is
he? And then, like, no joke, 4 days later, the announcement comes where Envious is back on. They signed a lot of former Splice players. Drone, Cutler, Semphis? Was Semphis?
Semphis, yeah. So they got the ESL Pro League spot. Okay.
Yep. And then they added JDM, and, of course, they ended up getting Nifty from Renegades. There was a lot of backlash to this pickup, right? Saying, like, why would you waste your time getting back in with this roster, blah, blah, blah. First off, I think there might be some people touchy that they didn't pick up a French team. They were before all French, right? They were known as one of the French rosters for CSGO. But of course, we are well aware that they're based here in Dallas, Texas. So they want to go local. They've kind of moved that way ever since getting the Dallas Fuel.
And the NA scene is, you know, ripe.
It's yeah, I mean, it doesn't take much. But I think people are missing the fact, like, this was solely to get Pro League. That's it. They got Nifty to work around him. Like, Nifty is your long-term plan, right? They signed Nifty so they could build around him later on. Drone, Cutler, and Semphis, to me, are temporary. Yeah. Envious dropped their roster because they were relegated out of Pro League. You know, they're an organization that they don't want to waste time trying to climb
Mike's
back
a winner
out.
Dude, Mike wants to win. Like, yeah. He's not gonna be satisfied with an average tier roster. You've seen that in Call of Duty. They just brought Apathy and these guys back, you know, they bought the championship team's roster, you know, in Call of Duty. So this guy wants to win, and I think they have a solid plan. I think they have an awesome foundation. We've been talking about Nifty. I mean, how many episodes have we brought up this guy's
name?
We should be
his
publicist.
We've always thought that it should go to any NA organization should pick him up. You know,
yeah. And yeah. So,
thought it was going to be Cloud9. Thought maybe Liquid make a weird move for him at times.
But this is a good one. This is a smart move. They're doing the right thing. You get back in. You
I
get
think
a pro.
That's probably
start.
How they got Nifty. Right? They probably pitched him on, hey, you are going to be our centerpiece. We are building this organization around you. We're going to come to you for help. Who do you want on the organization? Because really, this isn't one that I would move out of Renegades for. You know, like, I don't know what the expectations are for this team other than just keep your Pro League roster, and then that way they can build around it.
Yeah. I think it was a chance to have an all NA team. I think Hastro sold him on the city because, you know, I've been following some of what Nifty's been saying on Twitter. He's like, he just seems genuinely happy to be grounded, be somewhere. He's happy to be in Dallas. He's getting a place. I think he said in downtown Dallas. Huge mistake.
Right.
But
don't do it.
Don't do it.
That traffic.
Oh, man. Yeah, I know, right? But, I mean, good
for
him.
Stay away from Lamar.
Maybe he sees the long, you know, the long game, right? He's playing the long con. And, you know, Mike can sell anything to anybody. Yeah. So
no, like I said, I think... I think a lot of people were missing the point. You can't just buy a major roster anymore, right? Those days of Counter-Strike are done. Where, I just want to... like, because, you know, remember... I mean, we even reported it back in, what, March? At ESL Pro League in Dallas that, Envy is looking to buy out a roster. And we were like, maybe it will be NRG. But even then... like, their price is probably so high because they just started on their upswing. So the days of just going out and buying a major winning roster for Counter-Strike are done. You have to do this. You have to get into the pro league to at least sell players to come to you.
Yeah. Nobody wants to work their way to MDL.
I mean, you look at it in the recent moves, it's been like buying a player. Because player buyouts are so ridiculous right now. Like, nobody can afford that, especially when, you know, we've talked to people and it's hard for teams to monetize CS and that income and, you know, make a profit off of it. So, I mean, it's like, yeah, I agree with you, Tim. Like, gone are the days where you just buy out rosters. You piece it together. You, a player here, you know, a few months down the line, a player there, and kind of see what happens.
Some contracts to expire and things of that sort.
I think right.
The next move you see is automatic.
I'd be okay with that. I give him my blessing.
Tim, slowly, you're being converted, dude. He's being. We're about to see all of these.
Just don't go to a Brazilian team, okay? Okay. Look, Mike found the quickest way to my heart, and that was free clothes. So I got to.
That was pretty sick.
I got to be okay if they. If they go to Envy, I won't be upset about that. So
a way to a man's heart. Give me a hoodie that's comfortable.
For real. For real. You want me to cheer for your team? Just give me a hoodie. We're in business. We're talking.
Call
baby.
It even.
Let's introduce our brand new segment, shall we? With no production value because got to keep it consistent, right? We don't do production here. Called Fan Logic. And the topic of this week's Fan Logic... Astralis backing out of Epicenter, causing a rift through the CSGO community. Some questioning, is something wrong? Why would they drop out? Who's to blame? Is it the organization? Is it the tournament organizers? I don't know how to fix this. Those are all tweets that I saw throughout the week when Astralis announced that they were backing out of Epicenter. Sir Scoots even tweeted out saying that, you know, it's a shame to see this happen. He understands why, but he doesn't really know the solution. That's the head of the players union saying that. So I don't know if that's just like, what's the phrase? Like a smoke screen that he doesn't know the solution. All these guys are acting like either A, there's nothing wrong with the scene, or B, that they don't know how to fix it. Yet us, the fans, have always known the solution. And that's less tournaments. I know, Anuj, you were talking with somebody on Twitter, right?
Yeah, with Lupris, Tomy, whatever you want to call him. He goes by on Twitter, Tomy. But Lupris, he was an ex-player, still an analyst in CSGO. Now he's GM of MIBR.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's general manager for MIBR.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so...
he doesn't know anything.
They all like the idea of these... I mean, these mass tournaments, like one after another, like they feel like it needs to be run a certain way. I don't know. I feel like it's just oversaturated right now. CS is a money-making machine with the number of tournaments they have, right? Teams that are at the top can really do well. And so you see a lot of these tournaments pop up because you'll constantly... These tournaments are like $250,000 each, and they're every weekend. You know, like there's a lot of tournaments going on in CS. I don't know. I just feel like this is not the healthiest way for this game to survive long term. I feel like people are taking like too much advantage of it now, and you're going to see all this money flow through, and it's going to hurt the game down the line. Like you have to. I feel like get some tournament organizers together. Form a proper league, like make this more like Overwatch, you know, like you're watching Overwatch, who's you know, I feel like Counter-Strike is still really the mecca of esports right now. Like, I find it hard to believe that it's still run like it's a bunch of 10-year-olds putting the show on, right? And so it just needs to get, it just needs to get, like, organized and, like, get your stuff together, get a proper league going, play majority of your games on land instead of having all these online matches every other weekend, and then you mix it in with the LAN event and players are exhausted. I mean, Stewie and these guys have been gone for 40 days consecutively now from their home playing in the Face It 27 round major that we just had. Then the next week going to these tournaments, they think it's a healthy way. And it blows my mind that, like, anybody that's against that thought process, you get dumped on. I mean, like, anybody in the pro scene will tell you, oh, that's a terrible idea. No, dude, like, y'all are the ones that are profiting. I think from a fan perspective, we're trying to tell you, this is not fun. This is not fun to keep up with. We do it because we're almost being paid to do it, and because we love, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, we're definitely paid.
I mean, if you want to come over and pay us to do it,
to the almost getting paid part. Yeah, I don't know about that.
Right. No, you know what I'm saying, though? Like, it's just hard for an average person to sit there if they're not doing a show on it weekly to be like, let me watch every tournament that's going on. It's like two a week now. It's not even one per weekend. It's like
three
tournaments a weekend, and it's all split up with your favorite teams everywhere. Well,
and look at this, right? You want to talk about scheduling here real quick. ECS Pro League and ESL Pro League both started this week.
Yeah.
Like, you just had two pro leagues start with teams, the same teams in both of them, pretty much. It's like, did we not learn this last time or every other time? Can we just not get together to figure out, guys, there's got to be a way where we're not overlapping schedules?
You've had teams forfeit from games in leagues, like WSAG, right? Like, wasn't that a thing? Yeah. So, yeah, Counter-Strike at this point, I saw something pretty ridiculous. It's a volume sport right now. It's a volume esport where, you know, I was looking at, they're still up there in prize money, but they've literally had hundreds of tournaments this year.
Thousands. Yeah.
It's insane. Okay, so I'm happy that Astralis, two things. I think Astralis are doing it more so because it's from a quality standpoint. When are you going to find time to practice when you play in a tournament? You fly, you got jet lag, you're trying to recover for 3 days, and then you're playing a tournament in two more days, right? Like, how are you supposed to stay fresh and stay on top of your game doing that? Secondly, is a more, like, I guess, selfish reason. If more teams like Astralis decide, you know, hey, we love you, Blast Pro, we love you, ESL, we love you, ECS, but we got to take care of our business over here. And maybe if more teams kind of get on that and just start like, hey, we got to drop out of this. This is just too much right now. Maybe it will force less tournaments, more quality over quantity, and fix things. Because it's only going to get better if teams, owners, organizations start taking a stand, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the only way it's going to change. But so, you know, good on them.
It all starts at the top. It all starts with Valve needing to do something to take ownership of their game. I think that's where it's going to have to start, because you are not going to get ECS to bend the knee to ESL, or E-League is not going to give up and say, no, our tournament is less important, right? Now, Blast Pro Series is kind of the new kid on the block with tournaments. You have the random iBuy Power Cup every year.
DreamHack.
DreamHacks happen now. They're announcing DreamHacks like ever, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like there's like four new locations.
Before you had like three or four DreamHacks a year, and now it's like they're announcing them in India and all over the place.
Hey, watch your tone when you say that.
I mean, India.
That's got to be one that's got to be there, right?
No, yeah, it's insane though. It's like, I mean, 20 tournament organizers now and 50 different tournaments. Now, the number that you read is slightly skewed on that tweet from Sir Scoots, because Counter-Strike is one of the few games that has a ton of tier 2 and even tier 3 tournaments, right? So
and we're not talking about money, those, right?
Yeah, the money is still coming from the top end. Because I know exactly what you're saying. Like, the number of tournaments versus the prize pool looks really skewed. And that is like a couple hundred tournaments with the same money as some of the other games. But on the top end, it's still one tournament a weekend. Pretty much is what it feels like. You know, there might be random player break here and there, but Valve, if we're waiting on Valve to get involved, it's never going to happen in Counter-Strike. They've refused to do it. They don't have to do it right now because they're Valve's printing money. I mean, they are not having to do anything to market their game. They have everybody doing it for free for them right now. They have everybody putting up the prize pool money for them right now, except the major. And even with the major, they're so damn cheap. It's $1 million. It's nothing. It's day trading for them, you know? So it's really, really nothing. Valve will never get involved. They will never step up. It's going to have to be the organizers coming together, which again, like you said, that's never going to happen. It's a sick cycle, but they're a okay with it internally. They don't really necessarily care too much about, you know, how the fan feels in this case, and they don't have to if they're making money, right? Like, why should they give a damn?
But I just think, you know, with you have this players union right going on, and with Sir Scoots running it, or even without the players union, right, how did any of them sign off on having two huge tournaments the week after the major?
But that's not what the player union's there for. They would have to, like,
I mean, what is the player union still, for?
It's there for that, but it's so new that you're not going to get that type of communal vibe and have everybody on the same page. Because I bet you, again, half of them probably love the fact that there's that many tournaments. And then there's another half that's already made money, that's older. You know, people are going to be playing CS at an older age now. It's not like you quit at 21 to go get a real job. This is their job, right?
So yeah.
They're going to continue to play it. I think it'll take a big majority of them to really feel this way. And I think we're still far from that. There's a vocal group out there that's like, hey, this is too much. But I bet a lot of them, in terms of, hey, this is how they get their money. They get a salary, but shit, Astralis can come out here and make 50 grand a weekend in 6-person tournaments. Like, okay, sign me up, you know? And then on top of that, they're cashing in. Take the major out of it. That's a lot of money compared to the rest of the tournaments. But you start looking weekend per weekend, Astralis is going to get top three probably at every tournament they go into in this type of form that they're in. They're going to make bank doing it. So they can be picky because they're getting a lot of money off of it. It's those teams like 10 through 25 or even 8 through 25, they're going to be like, no, I would rather grind it out because this is how I'm going to get paid.
Right.
Like, I would rather go to as many as I can. So it's going to suck for us, but I just don't see it changing.
No.
We're too deep.
I don't either. I mean, look how long we've talked about this, but I will say, in the spirit of the new segment, Fan Logic, the fix is pretty common sense, right? You do get people that are like, I don't know how it's going to change. I don't know what we need to do. You know, what needs to happen? Just get organized, right? Just get organized. Have less tournaments. Open up a calendar maybe before you schedule a tournament. Check with organizations first saying, hey, are you guys cool with this or something? I don't know.
Maybe just have two seasons that one takes the first half of the year, one takes the second half of the year, and maybe the summer is the time off in the off season period, right? Where so you have, like, you know, more of a spring league and a winter league, and the summertime is the off season for the players, or whatever. You do it however you want, but do it in a way where it feels organized. It doesn't feel so.
A spring league, a winter league, and you put the Mac Daddy Major right in the middle.
Yeah. I mean, like, And Valve, on their end, what they can do to contribute is make the major special, you know, make the major feel like we're coming to a show. And like, it's going to be tough for them again to do that with the way the current format is, right?
Because
the major happens and then there's two big tournaments the next weekend.
It's going to take a full restart. Like, you're almost going to have to see, like, just take a month off or two of no tournaments. Just to then restart the schedule. But the issue is like, I'm already looking at, like, DreamHack schedule, and they already have events scheduled for, like, October of next year, you know? So, I mean, these things are planned so far ahead. I understand that this isn't going to change within the year, right? So, I don't know. That's our fan logic. I'd love to hear our listeners. If you want, you can hit us up on Discord or at the Center Ring on Twitter. Let us know what your fan logic solution is to the CSGO schedule, and love to hear it.
And like Tim said, the solution seems pretty easy.
Yeah, doesn't really seem that hard. I mean, you know, take away the logistics.
Executing it is the difficult part.
Right.
The solution.
I'm an adult. I understand. It's not a switch. It's just flip and say, boom, done. But you know, the overall idea doesn't seem that difficult of a thing to do. We'll just have to wait and see, though. It will never happen. Oh, that's the wrong one. We want to do that one. As we get into E news, not a whole lot going on this week. Or that had happened last week. Call of Duty Black Ops 4, they are having an event with E-League. It is a charitable event. Brett, what was it about? I know you read it.
It's called Call of Duty Endowment. It's a nonprofit organization that helps veterans transition into civilian life after service. So a cool tournament benefiting something that is a problem here in the States. So good on them. That'll be fun. I'll have to check that out.
It's a good way to kick off the Black Ops 4
It's like pros and streamers mixed, right? Involved in this, or is it just like celebrities? Or
I'll get back to you.
I think it's like popular streamers and stuff.
No.
It's E-League, so I mean, you know, it's going to be a spectacle. It's going to be great.
I'm excited. It's like a good little kickoff for the game too, which comes out here in what, 2 weeks?
Two weeks, but you're not getting it, Anuj. Remember you said you're not gonna buy it.
He's getting it. I
just pre-ordered.
He's so wealthy. You know,
I have it, but I'm looking at it. I will get the game. I know I'll get it. I'm a sucker for burning money.
If you see all of us on it, you will be on it that night.
Oh, I would start downloading it the second I logged in. If it said more than two people on my friends list are playing, I'm going to get jealous and download it.
That's what happens to all of us, no matter what game it is.
Yep. Play it for a week and then never touch it again until maybe DreamHack will hop on at 4 a.m.
While we try and download it at the event.
Right. Another thing going on with E-League, they're pretty busy right now. They announced a partnership with Smash Ultimate and Nintendo to... I don't think they're necessarily hosting the tournament, but they're partnering with Nintendo to like do a documentary and kind of work coincide with them for Smash Ultimate. Ultimately, the story there is Smash Ultimate has already getting a bigger stage than Melee really ever has. So I think it just shows that, especially with Armada's retirement, which I don't even know if we talked about it. Did we talk about
it?
We did.
We did. Yeah.
Okay.
We did.
Even with him retiring, and now this, I think pros are even seeing the writing on the wall. Melee will always be there, right? But guess what? Everyone loved Halo and Halo 2 and Halo 3. But you guess what games no one plays anymore? Those games. Because...
yeah.
You go on to the shiny new toy, and eventually you just gotta move on.
I'm hoping. Like, this just has to happen. I want Melee to die so bad because I want Smash to be organized, and I would love to watch Smash where, like, everyone's on the same
one. You want it to die for the betterment of the scene.
Of the game. Yeah, of the scene. Not because I don't like Smash. I love the game Smash. I just want it to be, like, one... I'm not following five different Smash scenes, okay? As much as I love the game, I will never follow more than one. And I want to follow the newest one, because that's the one that we're going to be playing. That's the one majority of people will be playing. So
it's the one Nintendo's focusing on, you know? You gotta.
You think they'll do a ranked mode in the game? Have they announced that? There's no announcement on that, I'm pretty sure.
I don't think they've announced many of, like, what their plans are for the online mode. But given the fact that Nintendo's even acknowledging the competitive nature of it already... because that was the thing with Melee. For the longest time, Nintendo said that they didn't like the pro scene because they didn't play the game the way it was supposed
to
be
played. Nintendo wants you to play to have fun.
Right.
Not to complain and to be competitive.
But I think, finally, right... and I am not going to give Nintendo credit for this, right? But finally, they have learned, you know, they have seen reasons, money, that maybe they should focus on esports and the competitive side of their games, because that's what you're going to get people interested in. So I'm sure that you're going to see something, right? I think they're introducing a tournament mode again, which was something they took away for the last couple ones that everyone loved. So I think you're just going to see overall more attention from Nintendo on this one. So we're going to talk about Ultimate more, though, obviously, when it comes out. Actually planning on hosting our own little TCR professional amateur tournament. So
the Pro-Am.
The Pro-Am.
The TCR Pro-Am. So you can follow us on Twitch at The Center Ring, and even on
we'll put out more
Twitter
info on Twitter
is at The Center Ring. Twitch is where it will be streamed.
Yeah.
So, but that's not for another month or two. We gotta get that planned. So, you know, and we all got wives, so we really just have to ask for their permission.
So. Please.
Oh, whatever. You're the worst of it. All right. Anything else for e-news? I think that's it.
Yep.
We already mentioned DreamHack India, so I'm good.
We'll mention it every week until it happens. Whoa. You need to stop that, e-news.
It's the remix.
Remix! Anyways, thank you all for listening. That just about does it for episode 124 of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. We will be back next week to discuss stuff. I really have nothing to even tease for next week. I don't know what's happening over the weekend.
We'll think of some great stuff to talk to y'all about. We always do. Hopefully.
As it always is, the best episode ever. Follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Be sure and retweet, like, tell your friends, tell your family, do whatever you have to do to make sure this show lives on into perpetuity. Oh, we are now on Spotify. I'm not going to lie. I thought we were always on Spotify until I tried looking it up the other night and they didn't find us. I changed that and now we are on Spotify. So if you like listening to podcasts on Spotify, you can now listen to us on that. So be sure to like us on that. Leave a review wherever you can. I know you can do that on Apple. But we will be back next week for another edition of The Center Ring. For Brett, for Anuj, I'm Tim. We'll see you next time.